Good morning. This is Edmonton AM. I'm Rick Hart. Coming up this hour, high-speed police chases. When are they worth the risk? A question some are asking after this week's fatal crash involving a stolen vehicle took the life of an innocent bystander. We'll ask an expert who's investigated hundreds of police pursuits. RCMP will investigate an Edmonton police chase that led to the death of an innocent man. The 52-year-old man died Monday after his SUV was hit by a stolen Jeep, a Jeep that moments earlier was the subject of a high-speed chase. Joining me now is former UK police officer Gareth Jones, a police pursuit expert from Toronto who's investigated hundreds of these kinds of chases. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm all right. You know, when it comes to police chase policies, what are the prevailing trends that you've come across?
Can I just clarify one thing first? I've investigated around about 150 police pursuits, not hundreds. But the general trends that we're seeing right across North America and the United Kingdom is that police pursuit policies are becoming more restrictive, that officers are given less discretion as to when they can initiate a pursuit and when they can continue it. And that's because safety is generally acknowledged nowadays, that safety is a far more important consideration than law enforcement, and that police chases are inherently very dangerous.
So a cost-benefit analysis by the sounds of it.
That's right, yeah. I mean, again, it's police agencies across North America have been doing this. They roughly, and again, it's the figures, the data isn't perfect, but roughly 25% of pursuits end in a collision, and a significant proportion of those end in an injury to somebody. Sort of. You know, in the States, 350, 400 people a year are killed in police pursuits. So the more restrictions you put on beginning a pursuit and then continuing it, the safer the process should, in theory, become.
All right. So what kinds of crime, though, are still clearly justify chasing someone wherever you are in North America or the UK?
Well, again, it's a judgment call on the part of the officer and the officer's supervisors. For example, and there's also policy that governs it. For example, in Orlando, in Florida, pursuits are prohibited, save and except in cases of homicide, armed carjackings, other very violent felonies. So you couldn't pursue a vehicle just because you suspect it's stolen in and of itself. And the overriding principle behind that is that, you know, the need to arrest the suspect must be so important that it would justify placing an innocent third party at risk of losing their life.
Now, for police forces who don't have that set of restrictions on their police pursuit policies, I was going to originally put this as a double negative, you know, police forces who still hesitate to curtail chases, what's holding them back? But if you see what I mean, like, why do some police forces continue to say, have a wider, more inclusive set of scenarios that they're willing to engage in a chase for?
Well, I think you'll find that there's fewer and fewer police forces that are actually doing that. There's a general received wisdom literally across the continent is restrict traces as much as you can. Don't give as much latitude to the officers to use their own judgment. And I think the reason that few do continue with a sort of judgment-based policy is that there's a concern out there, oh, well, you're letting the bad guy get away, that, you know, if the criminals out there become aware that the cops aren't going to chase, that they'll flout the law with impunity. But as your own former Deputy Chief Lipinski said back in 2007, when Edmonton changed the policy, that did in fact happen. And so does the International Association of Chiefs of Police. You know, bad guys don't flout the law just because they think that they're not going to be chased.
Let's turn to this week's fatal crash. If you were in charge of the investigation, what would you be looking for specifically, just as a matter of course?
In terms of the issues that are being under investigation, if I was the lead investigator in this, some of the things I'd be looking for would be the training and experience of the involved officers, the nature and condition of the area that the pursuit took place in. There's a big difference between a chase in a rural area where you may have excellent vision as opposed to a built-up area where vision may be limited, the events preceding the pursuit, why it was begun, why it was terminated, the flow of information between the officers and their supervisors. Was the police abandon it? At what point was it terminated? What did the officers do after the termination? Did they stop or did they turn off their lights and continue to follow at a difference? And I just want to emphasize, I know nothing at all about the circumstances of what happened on Monday morning. And maybe as well have a look at overall compliance with the pursuit policy.
You know, you mentioned that this is dependent on a judgment call, that's a subjective situation, but, you know, these things play out, when they play out in real time, play out in seconds. Seconds make a huge difference, and I'm wondering, how could it be anything but a blanket policy? Do you know what I mean? Do it or not do it kind of thing, when you can't sort of hesitate and think about and deliberate. It seems to me it's something that either happens or it doesn't.
Yeah, it's very difficult to come up with a policy that fits all cloth. Each different event is different. Each time that an officer makes a determination whether or not to follow the vehicle, whether or not it's going to pull it over, the circumstances are different. So it's very difficult to come up with a black and white policy that doesn't leave some element of discretion for the officers to follow.
All right, Mr. Jones, thank you.
You're welcome.
Gareth Jones, a police pursuit expert, former member of the Ontario Attorney General's Special Investigations Unit. Following the Edmonton police chase, a 24-year-old man was charged with dangerous driving causing death, criminal flight, driving while disqualified, and possessing stolen property. Last month, a report showed a slight increase in the number of police chases, which prompted the Edmonton Police Commission to launch a review of its chase policies.